Relax, Britain. With his weapon in one hand, a martini in the other, and a woman in the other, it's Henderson Doorframe of Long Division!
Yeah.
My name is Henderson Doorframe, and I am an agent with Long Division of the British Secret Service. I had just returned from an unidentified foreign country after my latest mission and been debriefed by my boss, the Chief.
So, there we are, Commander. How are you feeling now?
Much better now they were off, sir. They were beginning to ride up.
I thought as much. European sizing, you see. Never the same as the UK. Anyway, I'm glad I could help. Now you're back, there's no time to rest, I'm afraid. I need you to go to the Chinese and give them this.
Very good, sir. What is it?
It's my lunch order. I phoned it through about 20 minutes ago, so it should be ready by now. The Boffins in Short Division have come up with a couple of nifty gadgets to help you out. This here is a wallet disguised as a gun, and this bit of kit will help you out should you need a bit of energy.
It looks like an individual apple pie, sir.
It is an individual apple pie, Commander, in case you get hungry on the way.
I see. Is there anything in the way of a weapon, sir?
Not now you've got your trousers back on, no.
And with that, I could tell that the meeting was over. The Chief gave me an icy stare, and I used it to carefully slide my way down to the ground floor. Once there, I reached down and grabbed my toes, which I had left at reception. Once I had reattached them to my feet, I tried to rein a taxi. Having failed to do that, I hailed one instead. Station as fast as you can. I watched him go and then unlocked my specially modified 1100cc Kia Yeti. Gunning the engine, I pulled it out in traffic, but spotting a policeman coming along the road, I had to quickly pop it back in again and zip it up. I then steered the boxy example of Korean engineering onto the highway and set off for the mystical East. Located next door to the Taj Mahal restaurant. Arriving in less than a sentence, I turned my car into a little side street, a neat little trick that the Boffins at Short Division had devised to avoid traffic wardens. Tucking the side street into my London A to Z, I made my way to meet my contact. There was nobody around when I got there, and so I tinkled on the bell. Almost immediately, an old crone appeared.
Oi! Do you mind? You can pack that in for a start. It's bad enough when the cats tinkle on that bell without the customers doing it as well.
Humble apologies, I said as I bowed low in respect. I was caught short. I wasn't sure if you knew I was here.
That's why I had CCTV installed, mate. And that's why I had CCTV installed, you dirty swine.
Well, it won't happen again.
Too right it won't.
Excuse me, I said, but you don't sound very Chinese.
Oh, really? You want the stereotype, do you? Very well. Humble apologies, young sir. Would it also help if I missed out the odd word now and again?
Yes, it might.
Very good, humble sir. How can help you? You here for food, yes?
There was something about her accent that put me on high alert. Yes, I said. I'm here to pick up an order for Long Division.
Ah, yes. The top secret department of British Intelligence Service. 15 Mildenhall Street, yes? Is all ready for you, handsome sir. Would you care for a spring roll before you go?
I heaved a small sigh. This sort of thing happened to me all the time. Yes, all right then. Half an hour later, I climbed out of the old crone's bed and started to get dressed. A rustling behind me made me turn to see the old crone propping up the pillows and resting an elbow on them. It must come in handy having a detachable elbow, I said.
Now and again.
Can I take my order now? The old crone looked at me with her gone-to-bed eye.
Of course, young sir, of course.
And thank you for the roll, even if it isn't spring yet for another couple of months.
You are most welcome, handsome sir, and please take this free compliment as a thank you for your length of custom.
Well, I've never heard it called that before. I took the compliment, but too late I realised that it had been laced with irony and a large dose of sarcasm. My vision swam before I dived into the inky black pool of unconsciousness. It was dark as I came to. I became aware of a heavy weight on my chest and I woke up with a start. I had no idea of where I was or how long I had been out, but I was sure my mum would be worrying where I was. I struggled to sit up.
Oh, please, don't move, Commander.
Who are you?
I'm the Start you woke up with. Nurse Start. Pleased to meet you.
I did wonder about the weight on my chest. Is that your head?
Yes, it is.
Well, would you mind moving it, please? I want to get up.
I wouldn't advise that, Commander.
Why not?
Because I've just got myself comfortable.
All right, but I'd like to make it known here and now that you can do whatever you like to me, hopefully, but I'll never tell you anything. In the darkness, I could suddenly feel a soft hand gently running its fingers through the hair of my nostrils.
Oh, I'm not going to torture you. I'm only here because I'm cold.
A likely story. I know your game. I'm a member of Her Majesty's Secret Service and loyal to the Crown. You won't get me to defect.
Why would I? There's a perfectly good bathroom next door for that.
The fingers now traced the profile of my strong Roman teeth and the prominent bulge of my eyes. What do you want? I said.
I have no idea. I'm not the one who's taken you prisoner.
Just then, I became aware of the jangling and clinking of keys and a door swung open to reveal a large man holding a piano. He said nothing, but motioned for me to go with him. I could see that the piano was loaded, the henchman's fingers resting threateningly on the opening chords of Poison Arrow by ABC. The intention was clear what would happen should I try any funny business, so I put down the bright orange clown wig and surrendered the semi-automatic custard pie.
Goodbye, Commander. How about a kiss before you go?
Very well.
Very nice. Although I did mean kiss me and not the henchman.
Yes, I did think it was a strange request. I leaned in towards the voice and was met by a set of soft, full, sensual lips. We kissed passionately and parted breathlessly.
Better?
Much better. Although your beard tickled my nose.
The name's Gerald.
Very well. Your Gerald tickled my nose. I suddenly decided that it was now or never, and I made a lunge for the door. Too late, I realized that I should have lunged for the henchman instead. And whilst the door and I engaged in a fistfight, the henchman fumbled with his keys and fired off the opening notes of the song.
Oof!
The poison arrow struck me in the coccyx and I winced in pain. I attempted to remove the dart, but the fast-acting poison caused me to collapse faster than a Tottenham Hotspur Premiership title challenge, and I was out. By the time I had regained consciousness, I realized I had missed a musical link and a new paragraph had started. I became aware of a large figure in front of me. A voice spoke.
Ah, good. You're awake, Mr. Thorfinn.
The pleasure is mine. Why is there a large figure in front of me? Specifically, a large number 4.
Do you like it? I was passing a house on my way in this morning which had a for sale sign outside it. So I popped in and bought a couple of 4s, including this beauty.
Well, never mind all that. Who are you and why am I here?
You are my prisoner, Commander. and my name is Dr. Stephanie Fitznicely. Although my answers to your questions are not necessarily in that order.
Hang on. Stephanie? That's a girl's name, isn't it? You're a man.
Only on my father's side.
And you claim to be a doctor. I suppose you have a private practice?
Once my wife has gone to bed, yes.
And what do you want with me? At this, a cruel smile played across the doctor's face. It looked like somebody had dragged a stick across a cesspit.
I need to ask you some questions, Commander, and it would help me greatly if you would answer them truthfully.
Ha! You'll get nothing from me.
Oh, go on. It's a quiz in this month's Cosmo. What to give your man if he doesn't like stick?
Just then, the door opened and another henchman walked in. He whispered something into the doctor's ear.
Don't! It tickles!
Ten minutes later, when he had regained his dignity, he spoke.
Change of plan, Commander. You are to be moved to a new location. Grab his manacles.
Oh, please don't do that! It's making my eyes water!
Enough. Drag him up.
Comfortable, Commander?
Now that you've got me into this summer dress and hat, you mean? Surprisingly, yes. Although this handbag doesn't go with these shoes.
Oh, really?
No, but then I don't think I've ever seen high-heeled Ugg boots before. The doctor motioned to his henchman, and with that, the henchman gave me an elbow. Now I had three.
Movie.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak up. This wig you've given me is covering my ears.
I said movie. Pick those feet up.
But they're not mine. They were here when I woke up.
Oh, I know, but they're making the place look untidy.
As the henchman bent down to pick one up, I quickly hit him with my extra elbow. And with a now strangely effeminate voice, the henchman crumpled to the floor faster than a Scientology newsletter. I dashed through the door, reminding myself next time to open it first. For the first time in a while, I felt free, which was probably due to the light dress and lack of underwear. I had to escape.
Will our hero manage to avoid the deadly clutches that comes from wearing female underwear? What do the boffins at Short Division have up their sleeves this time? Will Henderson Doorframe escape? Find out in the next episode entitled Henderson Doorframe Escapes!
That was episode one of Henderson Doorframe of Long Division, with Steve Hannum as Henderson Doorframe, Jan Kelly as Old Crone and Gerald Start, and Jim Thompson as the Chief and Professor Stephanie Fitzlightly. The show was written by Steve Hannum.